Our hopes tonight, I'm going to try to have the, not up there, but I'm going to try to have this projector that was given to us. Yeah, how cool is that? I'm hoping that we can have it maybe tonight so we don't have that big line in the middle of our movie. So I'm hoping that's what I can get done this afternoon. I'm not climbing up there and putting it up there within that short time frame. That's a chore, but I am hoping that we can get that up and functioning and try it out tonight and see how good it does. Hopefully that works. We're going to try it. That is exciting. That projector was free. So we're going to see. I know it does come on. I know that I've put a picture on the wall, but that's the extent of my test. So we're going to believe it's going to be good tonight. So how many knows free is good? Amen. The projectors cost anywhere from, depending on what you get and what you need, they're anywhere from $2,500 to $7,000 and above, and they keep going up. And so this is a huge blessing, y'all, that we received. And so, but anyway, today we're finishing up the series called Family Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it. And, you know, I've said this for the past few weeks now, but I truly believe that one of God's greatest gifts that he gave us was the family. Amen? I know some of you, there's some members of your family you absolutely love, right? Like, yeah, I mean, you just love hanging out with them. You love when you get together. You love how, whatever y'all do, if it's play games, if it's just sit around and talk, whatever it is, you enjoy those times when you can get together with your family. Then there are some family members that you're like, oh, I hope they don't come, right? And I hope you're not one of those family members, right? But it does happen. I mean, there are those times. And I know the greatest gift that God ever gave us was salvation, you know. But I truly believe that he gave us the family. And so I hope that you have learned something from this series. If you've missed a Sunday, you can go back on our website and you can check them out. They're all on there. But today I want to conclude this series by talking about a legacy. And if you think about a legacy for a moment, Webster said legacy is this. It defines legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. So it's something that you hand to someone or you receive from someone. That's a legacy. And so your legacy is what you leave behind for your family. Your kids and grandkids will know about the legacy that you leave. What type of person were you? What is your legacy? And so when you look at the Bible, the most widely known family in the Bible, I believe this, and I think most of you would agree, is the family of Abraham, right? I mean, the entire nation of Israel was started from Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 4 and 6, it says, as for me, this is my covenant with you. And then this is God speaking to Abraham. He says, you will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. So from Abraham came Isaac through Abraham's wife Sarah. Isaac would marry Rebekah and have Jacob and Esau. Jacob would have two wives, Rachel and Leah, and they would have two maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah. And for these four women, Jacob would have 12 sons, that we know as the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you listen to the radio Thursday, you will have heard a little bit about what I'm talking about, what I'm going to tell you today. And I truly believe this is something that's very important. But I think of a better legacy than what I'm about to tell you. I can't think of a better legacy. If you've ever heard or thought about the story of Rachel and Leah, the two sisters. It's an amazing story, especially when you look at Leah and the legacy that she has. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Genesis. Go to chapter 29, and I want to begin reading at verse 15. Now, I know some of you may have heard this, but But I want to bring this home, and I want to kind of expand on, look more at the legacy side of what she left. But Genesis chapter 29, verse 15, it's a story that I believe should encourage all of us this morning. And I know that as I was teaching this on Thursday, it ministered to me personally. Matter of fact, Kelly called me and she sent me a text and, oh, that was great. And I called her and I said, did it speak to you like it spoke to me? And she was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever spoke something or done a Bible study, and as you're preaching or you're teaching it, it just have an aha moment. I don't know about you, but it really ministered to me Thursday morning. And as I was writing this message out, I already knew I was going to talk about a legacy. And I had printed this out and was going to put this in today's message. And I had not planned on doing it at the radio show Thursday. But as Wednesday night, you ever have those moments? Oh, no, I've got a radio show to do tomorrow. Yeah, well, needless to say, I was like, God, what? And as I began praying, God spoke this to me. So I don't know who this is for today. And I'll be honest with you, I've preached this message on Leah. I've preached it twice here. And I know I know some of you don't remember, and some of you probably weren't even here then. But I preached this message twice, and there was about 7 years in between both messages. And so this is the third time that I've preached this part, but I want you to understand this. It is so important that we get this, because the person of Leah was somebody that was an outcast. She was not supposed to be in this lineage according to what we as earthly standards think. And the only reason why she got placed in this marriage was because of her father pushing her upon Jacob. So let's look at this story. Genesis chapter 29, verse 15. It says, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Now, not a very good comparison, is it? I don't know about you, but if I was being compared to someone, I don't want them talking about my eyes. And then the other one, man, this person is, oh, they had beautiful eyes. But man, her sister was smoking. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. That's not fair, is it? Verse 18, Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. So Jacob has laid it out. He's going to work 7 years, and then I want to marry Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. And we can see this story unfolding, right? I mean, we see it, man. He is so in love. I'm sure every day his eyes are like, this is the prize, you know? I mean, Rachel is it, right? I mean, he's just so excited. You know, I'm going to get to marry her. I just got to work for this dude for so many years, and I get to marry her. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, look at this, give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? So some people have asked, how in the world did he not know that was Rachel? Now, let me just say this, okay? There was, the way I understand it, there was a veil, okay? Because she was a virgin, so it wasn't revealed to him her until the next morning, okay? So that's the way I understand it. So anyway, you figure that out. 26, Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter, Rachel, to be his wife. So understand, he works 7 years. He marries Leah, has a week with Leah. Then he marries Rachel after that week. He has two weddings in a week's time, basically. And then he works another 7 years. I don't know about you, but planning one wedding's enough. Amen. Verse 29, Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel, are you listening to this? His love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, so how do we know that Leah was not loved? Because God noticed it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not that we're just thinking, oh, well, he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. No. It says God noticed that Leah was not loved. He enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Verse 32, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben. For she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. Verse 35, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Now, most of the time when we think about this story, we think of the main characters in the love story of Jacob and Rachel, and we think, why is Laban keeping Rachel away from Jacob? That's what I used to always think. I used to always think, man, how's that fair to them? How is that fair? They had a love for one another. You know, that's who he wanted. That's the one that he should have gotten in the first place. He should be able to be with the woman of his dreams, right? And we think, why would Laban make him have Leah first? But the true heroine of this story, and I want you to hear me closely, is Leah. She's the heroine. I believe she is the star of this show. And if you look up the Hebrew meaning for Leah's name, it would mean weary or tired or possibly wild cow. Now, that's terrible, isn't it? Now, if you were to look up Rachel's name, it would mean ewe, E-W-E, which is a female sheep. And I would much rather my name mean sheep than wild cow. I don't know about you, right? I mean, who's going to say, "Hey, what's up, wild cow? How's it going?" You know, I mean, I don't want anybody calling me a wild cow, right? You walk in the room, no one wants to be called wild cow. And we read in verse 17 of Genesis, it says that Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. That's the only description that the Bible gives us about Leah is her eyes. That's all we know. She had weak eyes. Nothing great. Some translations say delicate eyes. But notice how quickly it says that Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Rachel was the hottie of the two. We've already established this, right? And so for Jacob, Rachel was love at first sight. I mean, Jacob worked for 7 years. I don't know if you read the first part of that. You know, she's walking that way. He sees her. You know, he's like, oh my goodness. I mean, he fell in love the moment he saw her, you know. But he had married her, married Leah, did not realize until he woke in the next morning. And Jacob confronts Laban. This is what we just read. So how do you think Leah felt? She feels terrible, right? I mean, Leah is just, I'm a nobody. She had been forced through custom to obey her father. She had given herself to Jacob and then has to endure two humiliations. One, Jacob, her new husband, didn't want her. That was one of them. And two, 1 week after their marriage, Jacob takes up with Leah's younger sister in a second marriage. And all Leah can do is stand by and say nothing. She has no choice. There's nothing that she can do about it. And verse 30 tells us this. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. So when I think of Leah, I can imagine a very hurt, a very shame-filled, and possibly depressed young woman. That's what I see. I can see her crying alone in her tent. I can see her confused. I can see her lost. I can see just the, maybe possibly agony, defeat, whatever you want to throw in there. I believe that she's suffering the pain of the father who traded her and the rejection from the man that was committed to her. Life is not fair for Leah. You know, the circumstances in Leah's life, they were not within her control. She had no control over this. There was nothing she could do. Her looks were against her. Her younger sister was more captivating. Her husband had intercourse with her but didn't love her. Leah was the ugly sister. She was the one person in the family that didn't fit and wasn't wanted. And I can imagine her spending many nights just lonely and wondering, why me? Why did she have to be the other woman that was unwanted? But then something happened. Something happened that, if you want to say this, it kind of made Leah's day, I'm sure. Because the one thing, the one job that a woman during this time was to do was to bear children. And not just children, but sons. That was important. And you see, Rachel was infertile. The perfect sister with the perfect looks, the perfect marriage, the one she probably wanted to be like, finally had something wrong with her. She was infertile, and for a Jewish woman during this time, that was a big deal. And after a while, Jacob would turn to Leah to give him a child. And so what happens? Leah became pregnant. She gave birth to a boy whose name, Reuben, means behold a son. I thought it was a sandwich, but. And Leah expressed her joy for having a son in his name. She said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She thought, finally, finally, Jacob will love me. Like, yes, I wasn't put in this. I didn't want to be in this marriage. I didn't ask to be in this marriage. You know, it was nothing that I said, hey, you know, I want to do this. I was forced in this marriage, but now because I have a son, finally, now maybe, right? Maybe now he will love me. She wants her husband's affection. She's looking for her husband's affection. But you know what? He didn't. He still didn't love her. And she conceived again. This time she bears a second son. His name is Simeon, whose name means herd. And she explained it this way. Because the Lord has heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. I got a second son because I wasn't loved. And you know, you listening to her reasoning for these names, it just breaks my heart for her. You could tell, you can see that she's wanting something, some kind of love or some kind of acceptance from her husband. She's crying out. for this attention. And you can hear her disappointment in her voice. And, you know, I can just imagine her sitting in her tent with these two babies. I don't think they were very far apart. I think they had children pretty quickly. And so you probably got one that's a toddler and one's an infant. And I can just see her in her tent, and she might just be sitting there crying. Because here I've given my husband two sons the one thing that he wants from me, and he still doesn't love me. And so she conceives again, and this time she bore Levi, meaning attached. Her explanation for the third son's name is, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons, but that didn't work either. And by the time her fourth son is born, she seems to have given up on Jacob's love. It's like, forget him. He don't care for me. And the fourth one is named Judah, and Judah means this, praise. Her reason for the name is, this time I will praise the Lord. Do you see the difference? Do you see the progression? She's named all these babies in hopes that her husband will love her. And finally, she gets to the point and she realizes that it's not the physical love that I need, but it's the spiritual love of my Heavenly Father. That's all I need. And she now no longer is looking for her husband's acceptance. Now she just wants the acceptance of the Father. Because she understands that I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And I'm about to leave. She may not realize this. She may not know this. She can't look into the future. But I'm about to leave one of the greatest legacies that you'll ever see. She was no longer looking for that earthly acceptance. But now she has come to receive and accept the heavenly acceptance. So I can tell you this. Jesus has accepted each of you and while you were born today. I promise you, he thought you were the most beautiful person ever. You are special. You have a reason to live. You have a legacy to leave behind for those that love you. Amen? So let's look at Leah's faith. Each time a son is born, she refers to the Lord. Her circumstances may have brought her misery and lack of family love, but her view of God was one of trust. Each time Leah has a child, she is drawing closer to the Father. Do you see it? She's drawing closer to God. Her relationship with the Father is increasing. She's wanting more acceptance from the God that truly loves her than she is wanting the acceptance of her husband that doesn't. And so think about her legacy for a moment. Or think about your legacy for a moment. Excuse me. Are you leaving a legacy that is centered on God? Live your legacy to be an example. Live your life like you mean it, right? Love like your life depends on it. Because I truly believe it does, right? Our legacy is not for ourselves, but it is for generations to come. Just because you don't feel accepted today doesn't mean the life that you're going to leave someday will be looked at and looked back upon and realize, man, how great you were. You may think, man, I don't know who I am. I'm wandering aimlessly. I don't see it happening. I feel like Leah. I don't feel accepted today. I promise you that something is great in store. Something is great in reward. Keep living the life that God has committed and called you to. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't try to get anyone else's acceptance. Just get the acceptance of the Father, the audience of one. Amen. That's the only acceptance that we need. So Leah now has four sons, and her sister Rachel has not had any children. So Rachel, she goes and steals her father's household items when they pack up and they leave for Haran, but Leah has no part of it. She doesn't want to have anything to do with those items. She's still focused on, she knows who her Savior is. She knows who loves her. Leah doesn't want to have anything to do with those items. Can I just stop for a moment? Let me tell you, we need to keep the idols out of our legacy. Do you hear me? If you will just focus on the Savior and focus on God and what He has for you, you don't need any of that other stuff. There's one true God, and your family should see you as a follower of only one true God. And when they tell stories about your life after you have gone, they should tell the stories about how you love Jesus. Amen? So make sure that you ground your purpose in a greater purpose. So after Leah's fourth son is born, Rachel gets so upset that she gives Jacob her servant, Bilhah, and two sons are born, Dan and Naphtali. Now, not to be outdone, Leah, whose womb God had temporarily closed, gives Jacob her servant, Zilpah, to whom two more sons are born, Gad and Asher. God then opens Leah's womb, and she bears two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun, plus a daughter, Dinah. So finally, after Leah has had six sons and one daughter, Rachel has Joseph. And then Rachel dies in Bethlehem while giving birth to Jacob's 12th and final son, Benjamin. So we know this. We know Leah outlives Rachel. We are not told when Leah died, but we know she was buried in the cave of Machpelah. At Hebron, where Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah were buried. In fact, think about this. Jacob's dying words tells us, there I buried Leah. Okay? Do you hear me? So he's telling on his deathbed, I buried Leah where my family was. And Jacob, what does he do? He leaves instructions that he wants to be buried. Listen to me. Not with Rachel at Bethlehem, but with Leah and his forebears. In the end, Leah has won Jacob's love. And when we look back at Leah's life, we are tempted to say of Leah, what a tragic and difficult life. And so many people in her life were unfair to her. Her father forced her into a marriage. Her sister resented her. Her husband did not begin to love her until late in life. And yet Leah's story teaches us that the effect of your life cannot be measured within the time span of the few decades that you are on earth. The things that you are doing now and the life you lead now and the people that you influence now will be in effect generations from now. Do you hear me? Your legacy is not taking place in the present, but you are building your legacy for the future. That's what you're doing. Don't just think about the here and now. Think about the future of what God wants to do. And Leah's story, like all of ours, it fits into a long-range tapestry of God's weaving. Think about it. God had a plan, and God's plan involved the ugly sister. Do you hear me? That's something that we can rejoice about. If you feel like an ugly sister this morning, I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has something greater for you than you ever thought or ever imagined. And I promise you, He wants to do something far greater for you than you ever thought He could. But the story doesn't end there. The important thing is the legacy that Leah left behind. It's her legacy that stands out to all of us. And I'm about to give you a list of the generations that were affected by Leah. Now I want you to listen to this. The priestly line, okay, it comes through Leah's third son, Levi, and in that line come Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So think about it. Without Leah, there is no Levi, there's no Moses, so no first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. No Ten Commandments or Exodus from Egypt. No prototype of a high priest upon which Jesus would model his intercessor ministry for us. Leah's descendant, Caleb, was one of only two who entered the promised land of Canaan after Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of disobedience. At age 85, that's 46 years after Israel's failure to enter the promised land, Caleb said this, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Give me this hill country that the Lord promised me." Caleb probably, I think, got his spiritual tenacity from Leah. What do you think? Never give up, never give in, and never sit down in self-pity, resignation, or defeat. Think about it. Centuries later, the elders of Bethlehem pronounce a blessing on Boaz, another descendant of Leah. Boaz becomes the great-grandfather of King David. He was Leah's. It was Leah's fourth son, Judah, who became the ancestor of King David and King Solomon. So without Leah, we have no Judah. Without Judah, we have no Boaz, David, or Solomon. And without David or Solomon, we do not have the Psalms, the Proverbs, Song of Songs, or Ecclesiastes. From Leah comes not only all the high priests and Levites of Israel, but also all the kings of Judah, including Asa, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Additionally, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all appear to be priests and therefore descended from Leah. Ezra, the scribe, was a priest and thus from Leah. Nehemiah probably was from Judah and therefore also a descendant of Leah. And ultimately, the day players in the Christmas story derive from Leah. Do you hear me? Mary and Joseph belong to Judah. And the fourth son of Leah, Elizabeth and Zechariah, belong to Levi, the third son of Leah. Their son, John the Baptist, likewise comes from Leah. Anna, the old woman in the temple who gave thanks to God upon seeing the baby Jesus and spoke about him and all who were looking for the redemption of Israel, was from the tribe of Asher. Asher came from Leah through Leah's servant Zilpah. The land of Zebulun, right? The sixth and last son of Leah included Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. Nazareth was among the first who saw the great light shining in the darkness. Now, to sum all this up, without Leah, there's no Judah. And without Judah, there's no David. And without David, there is no Jesus. And without Jesus, we have no salvation. Do you hear me? You cannot measure the impact of Leah's life within her earthly time span. We look at her and we think she's just the ugly sister, right? And you cannot measure your life that way either. You will never know the legacy that you will leave behind for years to come. We don't know what's going to take place in our future, do we? All we know is that God has a plan and a purpose for us right here in the here and now, and we need to hear His voice, and we need to pursue the things that God has for us. And if we will live the life that God has given us and pursue His victories and pursue His promises and pursue the things that He wants for us, then guess what? Our legacy will take care of itself. Amen? You cannot judge things on external appearances, right? Rachel was the good-looking one, but God looks deeper than the outward appearance. Leah had inner beauty that the scheming, bitter, envious, and sulky Rachel did not have. So what can you take away from Leah's story? You must understand that you need time and distance to understand what God is doing throughout our lives. Amen? Leah had no idea that her trials would result ultimately in a priestly and kingly line, or that a great deal of the Bible would have been left unwritten without her. And by the way, think about this too. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was from the Benjamin tribe, and I know that Rachel was Benjamin's mom, but Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. And so don't you think that it was probably left up to Leah to care for Benjamin? And so I guess we could say that if Leah doesn't take care of Benjamin, then there is no Paul. And without Paul, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament. She never thought these trials that she went through and the loneliness that she must have felt each night would result in a priestly and kingly line. And most of all, she had no idea that the Savior of the world on the human side ultimately would descend from her DNA. So think about your legacy. What kind of legacy will you lead for the generations that precede you. Think about your legacy. As you are living and preparing to leave a legacy, make sure that you talk about your vision for after you depart from this life. Make sure that you leave behind a godly legacy. That's our job. We don't have to understand everything that we are faced or going through right now. We don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand why stuff happens the way it happens. I don't have to understand why I deal with certain situations on a daily basis. I don't have to understand why people call and ask me certain questions. I don't have to understand any of that. All I have to know and believe is that God has a plan and He has a purpose for me. And I will not understand when I'm gone, until after I'm gone, and I could be looking from heaven and look down upon this earth and see the things that take place. I don't know about you, but I can just imagine when Leah departed this world and stood before her father, that he looked at her and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I promise you that she was the ugly sister here on earth. And we look at the story and we think, there is no possible way that anything could become of Leah. But when you see the story, and the only way we get to see her story is because it's written in the Word of God. Which, by the way, if it wasn't for Leah, half of the Bible wouldn't have got written. Think about it. That's a legacy that Leah left. And I don't know what you're doing today. I don't know what you're preparing for or what you're planning for. But the way you live today will prepare generations to come. We need to leave a legacy for our children's, 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 children. Do you get what I'm saying? Our legacy is not going to, we're not going to see our legacy end tomorrow. Our legacy is for generations to come. And some of you may say, "Well, I don't have kids." You don't have to have kids to leave a legacy. Do you hear what I'm saying? People will see who you are. Look at the influence that Leah had on children that weren't even her children. She had to raise Benjamin. He was left without a mother. She took over and fulfilled that role, Now you say, "Well, it doesn't say that." You're right, it doesn't. We assume that she took over that role. How many of you have ever had a sister that had a child that, are you going to leave them out in the... No, you're going to take care of them, right? You've always took care of them. That's your family. So you don't know the impact that you're going to take today and what it's going to leave for generations to come. Let's leave a legacy. Let's leave a legacy that we can be proud of. Amen. Let's leave a legacy that when we get to heaven someday, God will see us come in that door and He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You. We thank You for this time that we can come and be in this place. Lord, I thank You for the life that we can see from Leah's life, Lord God. We can see the amazing, amazing legacy, God, that she left for us to see. A situation that seemed hopeless, seemed helpless, lonely at times, probably miserable at times, hurt, maybe even depressed. We don't know. But God, we see the beautiful legacy that she left behind. And so, Lord, I thank You for that picture that You've painted for us here today. And God, I pray for every person that's here. I don't know what they're feeling. I don't know if they're feeling lonely. I don't know if they're feeling hurt, depressed. They're feeling maybe they're feeling like the ugly sister today. God, would You just wrap Your arms of love around them? Just wrap Your arms of love around them. Let them know that You care for them, that You want what's best for them. Help us to live a life so that we may someday leave a legacy. Leave a legacy for those, for generations, to look back and say, they loved God with all their heart. They lived a life in front of me, And because of them, I want to serve King Jesus. God, help us to leave that kind of legacy. And we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord's good, amen. I want to do something this morning, and I want to ask if Drake and Candace could come. And y'all may know they're moving. I'll go ahead and come on up. I want to ask Kelly to join me, and if any of our elders could come and join us and worship, our ministers could come. We want to pray for them. They're moving to they're moving to Missouri. To misery, and but we're gonna bless them and pray that God will go with them and be with them. Can we all stand across this place and can we stretch forth our hands? And if we could just have those, some of you come and help us pray. And we just want to pray and believe that God is gonna do some amazing things in their life, in the new town that they go to, and that God is gonna bless them and use them in a new church. And I knew this is what the kingdom of God's about. We're not here to hoard people. You know what I'm saying? We're here to bless people and send them out. We don't want them to leave, but God has plans. We don't understand it. As I said today, we don't understand, but God has plans. God has plans for them. And so we as a church family, we want to bless them and we want to send them out and believe that they're going to do something greater where they go. Amen. Can we just stretch forth our hand and let's just pray for them? And believe. God, we just come to you right now. We pray for this family. Lord God, we just thank you and we love you and we honor you today, God. And so we just ask that you would send them forth, God. We pray for blessings to come upon them. Lord, we pray for blessings in the new church that they will go to, Lord God. I pray for blessings in their job, Lord God. I pray for blessings in their family, Lord God, that you would strengthen them, God, that you would give them wisdom, God, in every decision that they make, God. And God, I pray that you would just be able to go and do a work in their life, God, and we will see the new things and we will hear good reports of what is taking place, Lord God, and what is taking place in their family and in their life. And God, we just pray that you would send them, Lord God, help them to be an impact, God, where they are going and where you're called them to go, God. And we just thank you for your power and your strength as you go with them. And God, we honor you today in this, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we ask you to do these things. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we receive this. Amen and amen. Y'all be sure to love them before you go. Dismiss. I'm not dismissed yet. Y'all be seated. Just thank you, guys. Y'all can be seated for just a moment. Let me just finish up. Let's see here. Just real quick, man, I love it when my tablet moves on me. Here we go. Just want to make one final, don't forget tonight's movie night. That's the important thing. We will be raising money for Speed the Light during that, but also want to remind you that we have been this month collecting an offering for Chi Alpha. If you would like to give that, this is the last official offering. We'll always take offerings for Chi Alpha, okay? We'll always want to bless them and help them in any way that we can. But tonight, or today is the last official offering day that we are receiving an offering for the Fort Smith Chi Alpha, the UA Fort Smith Chi Alpha. So if you would like to give, you could mark that envelope today. Don't forget, starting next Sunday, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about Speed the Light, and I'll be talking about the ministries that it provides, and we'll be starting a plan for the months of September and October. Be thinking about what you would like to give to that ministry, what you would like to give to that missions, and so that'll start next Sunday. Can we stand? I know you just sat, but can we stand one more time? The Lord is good, amen? And so I just want to pray blessings over you this morning, okay? God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here in your wonderful church, your wonderful church family. And so, God, I just pray for every person that's here, God, as they go, God, I just pray that you would guide them and direct them and lead them, God, where you would have them to go. And God, I pray right now for